Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. Father God, as I look around the congregation this evening, I see people that have hungry hearts because they keep coming back for more. They keep coming to sit at your table and to receive all that you have. And Father God, I'm asking that they don't leave here the same as they came. I'm asking, Father God, that they are not half full vessels, but they are totally and completely full of you. And when they leave here, Father God, that fire that you bestowed upon each and every one of us, that it will burn brightly and it will do the works that you sent it forth to do. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to teach on new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Get this in your spirit, Lighthouse Church. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm going to stop there and I'm going to say something about praise and worship. I can tell that you're not still intimately involved with the Father by the way you worship. When you have to force yourself to want to be happy during praise and worship, there's not the intimacy there that needs to be there. If you just can't automatically, that's a bad word, I guess, but if you just can't just flow with the anointing with the Spirit, then there's something in you yet that has not died. And you're going to have to find out what that is and die out to yourself so that you can truly come before the throne of grace and worship him in spirit and in truth. All right. I want you to check yourself really close because that's a good indicator to you that there's still some flesh left and it wants to perform and it won't let you just die to yourself and just enter in and just worship. All right, come on. Let's talk about what you are as a new creation in Christ. First, you are a child of God. Always remember that. You are a child of God. This is not true of everyone in this world. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the most religious people of that day in John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. All right. It is true that God is the creator of all mankind, but he is only the father of those who have been born again. This is where we miss it. It is true that God is the creator of all mankind, but he is only the father of those who have been born again. Excuse me, have you ever heard? Boy, the air in here is really dry, isn't it? I have to figure out something so the air isn't so dry in here. It's hard to talk. But sometimes you've heard parents and natural say, I wish you'd never been born. You know, but would you ever think about the Father? He is a creation of all things. And some people do not follow the Father. They go the other way. But God never says, I wish I would never have made you. He doesn't say, I wish I would have never formed you in your mother's womb. He says, I still love you, even in your sin. Even though you won't follow me, my love is always there. Right? And when you say to a child in the natural, I wish you were never born, you kill something in that child. And sometimes it never gets healed. That wound just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. But I want to say to you tonight, if that has been spoken into your life, that was spoken through the devil, by the devil, and it is not a truth. God created each and every one of us in here tonight for a plan and a purpose. And he does not wish that you were never born. Amen. The enemy just used a fleshly person to speak that over you, to try to destroy you. And it's time that you rise up and you understand that you were born for a purpose and a plan of God. And the enemy's a liar. And quit believing those words that were told, spoken over you as you were a young child. Somebody in here that has happened to you. And God wants to free you up of those words right now. He no longer wants you to walk with a bastard mentality, because he is your father. And he wonderfully formed you in your mother's womb. And he breathed his life into your nostrils when you were born. Doesn't matter what your earthly father or mother might have spoken over you afterwards. He created you. And he breathed life into you. Somebody need to hear that tonight. All right, as a new creation, your spirit has been recreated, not your body. As a new creation, your spirit has been recreated, not your body. We still have the same body that we have always had. But inside your body lives the real you, your spirit man. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Glory to glory to glory. You know what the word says. Paul calls man's spirit the inward man, and he calls the body the outward man. 1 Peter 3:3 says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Peter calls this inner man the hidden man of the heart. Man's spirit is hidden to the physical eye. I can't see your spirit. You can't see your spirit, right? No person can see the real you. All we see is what you place before us. No one even knows what the real you looks like. People may think they see you, but they are only looking at the house you live in, your body, the outward man. The real you, the inner man, is on the inside, looking out through the windows of your eyes. The real you, the inner man, is on the inside, looking out through the windows of your eyes. You know, when I said there, I said, no person can see the real you. No one even knows what the real you looks like. People may think they see you, but they are only looking at the house you live in. And every time I read something like that or write something like that, I say, "How is this an apartment complex?" When you do deliverance, you have all these other things living in there with you, right? Some of us have big apartment complexes. So anyhow, we're looking at the house you live in, your body, the outward man. The spirit man never dies. Jesus said about Lazarus in John 16:22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Your spirit man never dies. This is why, you know, when people keep going, I don't care if you go to the graveyard, all right, please, don't say I told you not to. But people keep going to grave sites, talking to the people in there, you know, and crying over them, and they keep taking flowers, and there's nobody there. The spirit man, the real you, left the minute you quit breathing. You know, I know people just about live at the cemetery talking to a bunch of bones in a casket. You should be at home looking up and say, I'm so glad you're living in glory. Amen. Come on. Second, you are one with the Master. The believer and Jesus are one. You and I are one with Jesus. And I'm hearing God say, nobody can separate you from me either, except you. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. We are one with Christ. Our spirits are joined to him. Jesus is the head and we are his body. This is why God spoke to us a couple years ago. He said, now religion's dead. It is now spirit calling to spirit, because Jesus is spirit and we are one with Christ. So therefore we live in the spirit and we are spirit beings. We need to quit walking around here like we're part of the world. Excuse me. Third, all things are possible to you. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, it says, if you can believe. And God told me one time my people were praying amiss. So you pray and you act like you believe, but you really don't believe. You might even think in this little pea brain that you believe, but really in your heart of hearts, you're not really believing that God can do what you have prayed that he can do. So Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Fourth, the greater one is in you. The greater one is in you. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We need to understand we are a new creation. And you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. We've overcome the things of the world, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You don't believe that, or you'd be acting differently, right? I mean, you walk into the body of Christ, and what do you see? You know, the anointing was, everybody tells me the anointing was really strong here this morning, but I could feel something in the atmosphere was not right, and I knew it was one of the staff members. Then one of the staff members said to me, it was me. And I said, don't do that. See, you were all happy and everything, but see, I'm walking in the Spirit, and as a shepherd, I feel what's in the atmosphere in here. I felt it when I walked through the door. If you walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, you'll know all things through the Spirit. Not through your flesh, but through the Spirit. And see, we cannot afford to walk in the flesh at all. Because the enemy is all around about you, and you have to be aware of what's going on at all times, or you're going to walk in deception. You're really good. And I'm not saying don't be happy. I'm not saying don't be full of the joy of the Lord. But walk in the Spirit so you know what's going on around about you at all times. You can laugh and sing and dance and everything else, but still be walking in the Spirit. And God can be revealing all things to you. I can, in my home, I can walk out of a room and a couple hours later come back in and be angry as an old wet hen. Why? Because sin took place in that room while I had vacated it. And when I walked in, my spirit man got very upset because that's the house of God. And sin should not be going on in the house of God. Now, if I wasn't walking in the Spirit, I wouldn't know somebody was in there sinning. And see, I would be walking in total deception, and I wouldn't know how to pray over that room. Are you understanding this? Everybody in here, you should be the same way. You should know when something wrong is going on in your home, in your workplace, even in the house of God. Your spirit man should be telling you, there's a problem here, and you need to pray and let God take care of it. All right? See, that we aren't walking in the Spirit the way we ought, so we're just walking around, you know, all fat, dumb, and happy. And the enemy's happy that you're happy because he knows he has you walking in deception, and he's doing all kind of things behind the scene to destroy your walk with God. Take this the right way now. Don't run in the wrong direction with it. But understand, you have to know what's going on in the Spirit. Jesus knew what was going on all the time. Was it Peter that asked the man and the woman, how come they lied to the Holy Spirit? See, he was walking in the Spirit, and he knew they were lying. You know, he knew that they sold that property for more than they said. And they dropped dead. See, you should be walking in the same way. In the Spirit, all the time. Okay, notice the phrase, ye are of God. That is another way of saying you are born of God. John is saying the same thing Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. John is telling us that we are born of God. That our spirits have been recreated or born again. Your spirit man never sleeps. You know, I finally, by pure exhaustion, drop into the bed. I just get my eyes shut and bloop. Get up and pray, get up and pray, get up and pray. And I have to go and pray. My spirit man is always awake, and he's warning me there's something going on. And you, as a spirit-filled person, need to get up and pray. Don't worry about how much sleep you did or did not get. Get up and pray until you feel that thing lift. Because there's danger somewhere, and God needs somebody to pray. All right? But when believers understand that the man on the inside, the real man, has been born again and is a new creature, a creation in Christ Jesus, they can begin to live according to the power of the greater one who lives in them. Let's read that again. But when the believers understand that the man on the inside, the real man, has been born again and is a new creation in Christ Jesus, then they can begin to live according to the power of the greater one who lives in them. Then they can begin to rule over sin and Satan in their lives instead of the devil ruling over them. You know, at that point, you can start ruling and reigning over the enemy, and he does not rule and reign over you. You know, I was talking about your spirit man never sleeps. My daughter, Teresa Ann, she goes to sleep and dies. She doesn't hear nothing. I mean, nothing. I can walk in her bedroom, do all kinds of things, and she doesn't even know I've even been there. She just keeps right on steady snoring, you know. And she's, once I hit the bed, I'm going. And she has a hard time hearing the alarm. But I'm wondering, I was thinking, what happens to her spirit man? Because you really can't get her awake. She's sleeping. Amen? Come on. We need to understand that because of Jesus' triumph over Satan at the cross, we can also live in triumph over the devil. If you're a new creation and you understand that, we need to understand that because of Jesus' triumph over Satan at the cross, we can also live in triumph over the devil. Well, you know, I just can't lose weight. I can't fast. The devil has rule over you. You don't have rule over the devil. Because you don't understand that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and all things are possible to you, right? Come on. We can do anything. Do you know that gluttony is a sin too? It'll take you to hell the same way drugs or anything else will, adultery or anything. Because you are distorting the body, the vessel of God. Now don't get under condemnation. I'm overweight too, all right? But I'm just saying, you know, we just think that we can't do something that we can do. We can fast. We can pray. We can push away the extra slice of pie or the extra piece of cake. We can do that because why? We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And our spirit man is saying, hey, whoa, 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 you're pushing me out in here. You know, you keep getting heavier and heavier and there's no place for me to live. Amen? Just a little, you know, just exaggerating, but come on. The spirit man will help you. We need to understand that because of Jesus' triumph over Satan at the cross, we can also live in triumph over the devil. We need to understand that greater is he that is in us than Satan, the god of this world. We don't believe that. If we believed that, we would be living differently. We need to understand that greater is he that is in us than Satan, the god of this world. The greater one is greater than demons and evil spirits. He is greater than sickness and greater than diseases, and he lives in us. We don't believe that. Not the way we should. If we really believed that, the enemy would not be getting lording it over us in certain areas of our lives. We should be free in every area of our life, just not one or two or nine out of ten. We should be free in every area of our life. This morning I was sitting and I said, God, why do we have to live in all this degradation? He said, because my children, who are called by my name to do a special work, has to know everything that darkness does so I can use them properly. Something to that effect. So if you're a child of God, born again, you know you're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, and God has placed your light right in the very center of the darkness, know that he's done that because you have to understand how darkness works. Now, I was talking to Larry about this coming down, and he told me that part. And he said, that makes a whole lot of sense. But, you know, your light has to know how the darkness works, so you know how to counteract the darkness. Now, if before I was involved with the drug people, I said, and I'm being honest, let them die and go to hell. That's what I said. I did. But then, so then what did God do? He had to teach me a lesson. He sent me to the very center of the drug situation and made me live it So I could see that drug people are bound. They don't want to do what they're doing. They don't want to be killing themselves. And he made me have compassion for them. And now I look at the drug scene in a whole entire different way. Are you understanding this? So, you know, whatever you don't have full knowledge of, God's going to make sure you get full knowledge of it one way or another. He's going to place you in the center of it. He'll keep you while you're there. He's going to place you in the center of it so you understand really what man is going through and woman. All right? Question. No, where am I at? When John wrote about the greater one living inside of us, he was writing to born-again, spirit-filled believers. He was not writing to an unsaved heathen. He was writing to born-again, spirit-filled believers. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." So he wants to say, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. God's saying, I will dwell inside of my people and I will walk with my people. And the only way you can do that is by understanding that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then you walk in the Spirit and then God can dwell in you and walk with you. Otherwise, you're kaput. You're just out of by yourself. All right? I can't quit smoking. Yes, you can, because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that new man does not want to smoke and defile the body of the temple of God. Right? I don't want to be a glutton, because if I'm a glutton, then I defile the temple of God. I can't stop being glutton. Yes, you can. Why? Because you walk in the Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is willing to help you walk through anything that's defiling your temple. Question, how many of us are conscious of the fact that God is dwelling in us? 1 John 4:4, we don't act like it. Now don't say amen, because you don't act like it. All right? 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do you believe that? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the things of the world, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He, the Holy Spirit, is a divine personality, not just an influence or an impersonal being. All right? He, the Holy Spirit, is a divine personality, not just an influence or an impersonal being. In John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. When Jesus left, he did not leave you alone. When God went from the Old Testament to New Testament, he just didn't leave us alone. He gave us his son, Jesus. And then God told me then, whenever Jesus left, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And then he said, now I'm back to me. Now God is in control again, because the church has been a mess. So he's come with his little whip, and he's saying, get in shape. You are a brand new creation, so why are you acting like you're still the old man? Why are you still acting like you did when you was in the world before you claimed to be born again? God the Father, well, let me see, and I said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. God the Father, in the person and power of the Holy Spirit, indwells us. He lives in us. It is time for the church to become God inside-minded. For too long, the church has been weak-minded, sickness-minded, inferiority-minded, trouble-minded, and poverty-minded. I want to stop there. You know, I was reading where Bob Larson has had a bad back all his life. And they're saying everything that goes on in our body is demon-controlled. My question to God, I have a lot of questions to God about this, because I don't understand a lot of things. All right, so if everything is demon controlled, and Bob Larson is a powerful, you know, demon taker outer, then how come he's had a bad back all his life? I think we all need to question God in these things. Why is this happening, Father? If the greater one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world, then why are we still walking around with these infirmities in our bodies? You're sitting there saying, you're watching somebody get healed of all kind of sickness, while you yourself are standing there in total absolute pain. All right? You know, and they give all these wonderful testimonies of what people say, and our people do too, but yet you're still sickly. You're still poverty stricken. There's something not right with this picture, church. There's something we're missing. And I'm asking God, what is that missing link? I'm not satisfied with status quo. I want to know what the missing link is. See, when I was first born again, I walked in total miracle working power. And now, for the last 16 years, I've been not walking in total working miracle working power. I want to know why this is happening. I want to know, what are we missing that we are not doing the great things that God has called us for to be? If the whole church really knows that they are new creations in Christ Jesus, why aren't we corporately defeating the enemy? All right? Somebody was in my house. They fell off a 5-foot roof with a bundle of shingles. The wind caught him and threw him off the roof, and he didn't let go of the shingles. And he landed in a wheelbarrow on his back with the shingles on his chest. So when he came home that night, he was barely walking. And he walked by me, and I laid my hand on his shoulder, and I said, "Devil, you're a liar." And he said the pain immediately ceased. It didn't quit altogether, but it ceased being excruciating pain. And then by the next morning, with a back brace, he went to work. But he said his back feels so much better now. Now, all right, so why didn't he receive a total perfect miracle when I laid hands on him? If I'm a new creation in Christ, and the greater one lives within inside of me, why is it when I laid hands on him, he didn't have a complete total miracle healing? Something's not right, church. Because when Jesus walked into a room, everybody got healed and delivered, right? And if Jesus is living in us, and the Word of God says he is, the Word of God is not a lie, then why is that not happening with us? Not where I'm at. Then this negative is that where I'm at. This negative thinking. So I said, for too long the church has been weak-minded, sickness-minded, inferiority-minded, trouble-minded, and poverty-minded. This negative thinking has created a very serious condition of doubt, unbelief, and spiritual failure in the church and in the believer. This negative thinking has created a very serious condition of doubt, unbelief, and spiritual failure in the church and in the believer. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. If we're supposed to have life more abundantly, and we are according to what we just read, and I believe the word, then why don't we? What is a missing ingredient here? What is going on in our life, individually, in the house of God? When we really understand that the life giver indwells us, then our inner being will radiate God's life. When we really understand that the life giver indwells us, then our very being will radiate God's life. So we must become life-minded, not death-minded. 1 John 5:11, and this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So therefore, somewhere along the line, we're not believing that Jesus Christ indwells us richly, and therefore God can't do within us and for us and around us what he desires to do. We might be saying all this stuff with our lips, and we might think that we really believe it, but somewhere along the line, saints, we are not wholly trusting and believing everything that we say. And it's time that we get this mentality of whatever we have, and it's time that we rise up and be all that the Word of God says we can be and are in Christ Jesus. We must become plenty-minded, not poverty-minded. God is a God of plenty. I just can't afford my rent. I just can't afford to get my car fixed. I just can't afford. That's poverty-minded. All right? And if we're born again, children of God, new creation, why aren't we speaking more positively? I never say I can't afford anymore. I quit that years ago. Because every time I would say I can't afford it right now, I'm saying, telling the devil, go ahead, I've opened the door, you can keep me in poverty. I don't say that. I might say I just don't have all the money I need right now, but I will have it. God's going to give it to me. But I never say that I don't have it right now. All right? Joel 2:26, you shall eat in plenty. This is the word of God. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. We all do that. We eat in plenty. Just look at us, all right? And be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. All right? We must become health-minded, not sickness-minded. Exodus 15:26, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I think right here is our problem. Let's start this word again. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, all, A-L-L, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Somewhere along the line, we only have 99% going, and we need the other 1% going. Amen. We must become deliverance-minded, not trouble-minded. Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. If we are going into the great signs, wonders, and miracles that God is saying we're going into, and God's going to use us to do the great signs, wonders, and miracles, we have to get this down in our spirit that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that Jesus does live inside of us, that God does dwell inside of us according to his word, and that those who live inside of us, not them little devils in the other apartments, but you know, the ones right up front in the main lobby, they are greater than any devil. All right? God is greater than any devil. And the devil has to go. Right? This has really got me in betwixt and between. And when I pray now over my family every night, each family member, I really get upset with the devil. And I tell him what he cannot do any longer. And I'm sick and tired of him usurping my authority in prayer. I prayed he can't do it, and he does it anyhow. I said, you need to listen and you need to heed what I have to say, because I am a child of the Most High God. That's all I tell him. That's all I talk to him. You know, we have to let him know that we know that we do have power and authority, and we do that long enough. Remember the hunters? You know, that she got radically saved, gave away her book business. She had one of book publishing, but gave it away. Was in poverty then. But she met her husband, and they started holding healing ministries, and everybody died. But they didn't stop holding healing seminars. And after the devil saw that he could not stop them, he left them alone, and they had great healings, great miracles. Now, Frances Hunter, she had a big sore come on her leg, and she kept saying, it's healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. But it came to a place where she was about ready to lose her leg, and she had to go in the hospital to get it operated on. And she, till the day she died, didn't understand why she wasn't healed too. And I don't either. These are all things that God has to answer us. If we call upon him, you know, he has to give us these answers, because otherwise we're not going to be as effective as what we should be, because we can't tell, all right, so if God is so great, how come you're sicker? How come I'm still sick? You pray and I'm still sick. We have to know the answers to these things. All right. But in this verse here, it says, if we keep all his statutes. So maybe somewhere along the line, we're not keeping all the statutes. We're not obeying God. We're not in total obedience with God. He's going to tell us, and then it'll set us totally free. We must become deliverance-minded, not trouble-minded. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God said he's going to deliver us if we call upon him. This is his word. All right, God, so I'm bound and I'm calling on you to deliver me. How come I'm not delivered? And then wait there until God answers you. If he doesn't answer, what would you say? I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay right here, God, till you give me my answer. I did that one night and fell asleep. My head hit my computer screen. I fell asleep waiting. I never got my answer. But still, no, I let God know, I'm not leaving until I hear from you. I did hear a couple of days later, but not that night. I said, I'm still, even though I fell asleep, I'm still going to insist that you have to answer my question. He said, if you call upon me, I will answer. Isn't that what he says? Come on. And I'm not looking for somebody else to answer. I want to hear from God. I want to know from God what's going on. I don't want to hear from you because you have mixed emotions and you're allowed to tell me anything. You're allowed to want me to feel good, so you'll tell me something to make me feel good, and I don't need that. I need the truth, and the truth sets me free. Right? God never promised us that we wouldn't have any trouble, but he did promise to be with us in trouble and to deliver us. See, I always come back and I say, okay, God, all right, so we're going to have trouble, but you said you would deliver us. You said you would be with us. You would never leave us nor forsake us. Now, I want to know what's going on here. What did I say this morning about a forerunner church? We're not satisfied with status quo. And see, or we're a forerunner church, and God needs to answer these questions because God needs to use this church to get the message out there why we're not getting what we should be getting. All right? At least that's how I feel about it. I don't care how you feel about it. That's how I feel about it since I'm the shepherd, right? So, we must become power-minded, not weakness-minded. The Holy Spirit, the divine powerhouse and the source of all power, indwells us, and the potential of all his power resides within us. The Holy Spirit, the divine powerhouse and the source of all power, indwells us, and the potential of all his power resides within us. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. All right, God. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God, give me some pleasure here. My pleasure is that you answer my questions. I don't care what you make me go through, but I'd like to have answers to the questions I have before you. How can I be a good influence? How can I be a good leader if I don't have the answer for the people? Are you understanding this? When you go out on the street or at your workplace and you're telling somebody about God and they asked you a question and you're standing with egg on your face, see, you should be empowered with the answer. God, the Holy Spirit should be right there, right on the scene to automatically speak through you, no, spiritually speak through you to give that person their answer. You know, I was taught when I first went into church, you'd just say, well, I don't know the answer, but I'll get back with you. But I'm not satisfied with that anymore. I was for a season, but I want the Holy Spirit to be there, right there, and give the answer through my lips. Are you understanding this? We're supposed to be spirit beings, being led by the Spirit. Therefore, he has to speak through us. He really doesn't have to do anything, but I'm telling him he has to do it, right? Come on. Always remembers that, where am I at? God in us? I don't know where I'm at. All right. God in us by the Holy Spirit. What is he doing in us? He is at work inside of us. What is he working at? He is causing us both to will and to do his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? It is his good pleasure that we have everything the Word of God says we can have. And I don't. Do you have everything the Word of God says you can have? No, you don't. It is his good pleasure that we do everything God's word says we can do. And I'm going to be honest, I don't do everything when God tells me to do it. So that could be part of my problem. And I can just about guarantee that everybody sitting there, you don't do everything that God asks you to do the minute he asks you to do it. And that's some of our problem. We have to get over that. We have to be obedient the second he speaks to us. I've lost my place again. Always remember that the greater one is enabling you. How can you put the greater one to work in your life? First, you must believe in your heart that the Holy Spirit is in you and that the Word of God is true. First, you must believe in your heart, not in your head, that the Holy Spirit is in you and that the Word of God is true. Then you must boldly confess the Word with your mouth. You will never enjoy the reality of what the word states is yours until you confess it. You know, I have this, and I know what's wrong with my head, but, you know, I can keep that thing straightened out until somebody curses me, and then it becomes active. And somebody said, I think it was Monday, I wish she'd die. And boy, this thing became active in my head, and I was sick all day long until I found out they spoke it. Then I cursed those words because I said, God, why has this thing come back? I prayed, it left. Why has it come back? Then I heard this person spoke those words over me. So what did that do? That opened a door for the enemy to come and attack me. They didn't mean what they were saying, but they still said it. The devil doesn't care if you mean it or not. He doesn't care if you're mad for a second and you speak a blurb out something like that. He's just waiting for a reason to go and attack somebody. So be careful what you, every word you speak. All right, you will not possess what you believe in your heart according to God's word until you confess it. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Your confession should be that the Holy Spirit is at work within you, and then he works through you. That's what you should be telling the devil all the time. The Holy Spirit's in me, and he's working in me, and he's working through me, and you just have to move on because there's no room for you no longer. And then put up a no vacancy sign. Amen. Don't let him come back and dwell there. 1 Corinthians 4:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Do you realize every time you sin, the Holy Spirit's in there and you're sinning against the Holy Spirit? Every time you do some vile, dirty thing, you're doing it with the Holy Spirit in there. And the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. But you do force him to just sort of turn his back on you. Do you really understand you're not your own? Okay, guys, you all these devils are in all the apartments inside of you, right? So you're not your own. You're just a vessel that God is working through. Your spirit man is what is real and what is alive. Sometimes I just wonder if my spirit man just doesn't step out of me and stand there and say, really now? You know? How do you expect me to stay in there with all that junk going on? Come on. That had to be from God because that just popped out there. Come on. And the devil's probably sitting there saying, yep, really. They really did do that. That he's anxious to jump in there and take the place where the Holy Spirit was. Your confession should be that the Holy Spirit is at work within you and that he works through you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I want to drive that into your spirit man tonight. You are not your own. You belong to God. I can't help you decided you just loved the Lighthouse Church and you was going to come here and sit. I can't help that. But since you did, now you're going to have to go through the furnace of affliction. You're going to have to let God make a diamond out of you. Amen? And that little piece of dust that you were, he's going to pulverize you into your fine diamond. A lot of people can't go through that purification process, and they say, well, I'm out of here. And they walk up, and I don't care, because, see, it's not me doing the works anyhow, it's God. And he is calling out, you know, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, calling out those that are not going to serve him. And he's the one that makes them get up and leave because they cannot stand the pressure of being pressed into a diamond. So can you stand the pressure? If not, God will pick you up, put you out. Because he needs a refined group of men in his army and women in his army. He needs those who are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He needs those who understand that the greater one lives inside of them. He needs those who won't just sit back and let the devil do whatever he wants to do. He needs those who will question and question and question until we get the answers. Amen? Come on. I don't want anybody weak in my army. I used to say, I don't want you. I wouldn't want you to go to war with me because when I got in a foxhole, I'd turn and look, you would leave me alone. You wouldn't have my back. So, you know, we should know, each one of us in here, that if we get into a battle with the enemy, that our backs are covered. That those of us who sit in here all the time together as a unit, that we are praying one for the other. and that the enemy's not going to be able to sneak in the back door while you're fighting up here because your back's covered, and they'll get him when he tries to get in the back door. Now, see, if you're walking in the Spirit, since I'm your shepherd, you'll know when I'm in trouble because the Holy Spirit's going to warn you. Now, as a shepherd, I know when you people are going through something because God will start speaking to me about it. Then I'll say, not them again. Amen. Because some just keep going on and on and on. Come on. Come on. But God said, yep, them again. Start praying. And I like to come to you and with his rod and bop you on the head a couple times. Because you know better, but yet you're just letting the enemy work through you, and you need to stop. Okay, our bodies have become the temple of God. God indwells us. Then he ministers through us to the world and to the church. He ministers through the words we speak. He ministers through us as we lay our hands on the sick. I read something the other day, and it said, if a pastor belittles you, then you shouldn't sit under them. And I always call you dumb sheep. And I said, God, I'm really not belittling them. That's just a love phrase, really. And I said, please don't let that ever affect anybody negatively. I'm trying not to say that again because I do love you. But sheep are dumb. they would go and they would drown. You have to keep them. You know, what's a picture where the shepherd is carrying the sheep? It's because it kept wandering out of the thing, so he had to break its legs and carry them. I have to, every now and then, I have to break your leg and carry you. Amen. And some of you get heavy after a season. All right. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that's in you than he who is in the world. We must grasp that fact today tonight as never before. You are of God. You are born from above. The same mighty Spirit that raised the body of Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. Are you listening here? I miss raising the dead. I really do. That was sort of fun. But then I don't think I'll ever do it again because everybody I raised from the dead said, why did you do that? I don't want to be here. I wanted to be in heaven. It's a much better place. Amen. Then the little dog that I raised from the dead, my daughter took him in the truck, went in to see somebody, give him a quote on some work she was going to do for her, and he hung himself because he jumped out of the window and hung himself. So he was better off just staying dead, you know? So you wonder sometimes, should I raise people from the dead? You know? Just these are simple things that go through my mind, you know. And so, okay, so I was reading about Peter who walked on the water out there in the ocean with the waves, you know, boisterous. He took his eyes off himself and he walked on the water. And I'm thinking about when I was first born again, I believed everything the Word of God said. But when it come to walking on the water, I could make the wind cease, I could raise the dead. But when it come to walking in that mud puddle, I couldn't walk on the water. And it was a mud puddle. It wasn't the big sea. So what was wrong? Something was wrong with my faith at that point. If I could believe for all these other things and they happened, why couldn't I just step my foot in that water and say, I'm walking on the water, and walk on the water? Are you understanding this? Come on. If the miracle works in one area, it works in every area, right? And the power of God is working in one area in your life, it's working in every area of your life. So why do we shortchange the power? Amen? Where am I at? Life will become more abundant when we begin to understand what it means to live as new creations in Christ. Life will become more abundant when we begin to understand what it means to live as new creations in Christ. Life will become more abundant. All right? Ministry will become limitless. Ministry will become limitless when we finally realize the integrity of the word and when we know that we are who God says we are and we can do what God says we can do in his word. As I was saying that, Barbara came to my mind and God said if she would just incorporate this into her thought patterns, she will do great signs, wonders, and miracles in her glow meetings. they will be a norm. When you hold an AGLOW meeting and people come, they'll just be expecting to be healed or whatever they need. They'll just know that's going to happen there. When God was moving so mightily in this church, people just knew when they walked through the door that God was there and he was going to do great mighty things. And people still tell me the anointing is so strong in here, but it's not strong enough for me. I'm still not seeing what I know that God can do. I've already done all this. I want the greater works that God's talking about. I know we're an apostolic church. I know all that. I know we're forerunners, and I know that the glory has already dropped to a certain degree, but there's still something else that we need, and I'm not content with what we have. And neither should any one of you in here. There should be something moving in all of our lives corporately, so that individually, when we walk out that door, everywhere you go, signs, wonders, and miracles occur. Amen? Every place you go, you should draw attention to people. You know, people should see you there, and you should draw them to you. Now, you're not drawing them to you, you little evil-minded people. It's the Holy Spirit in you that's drawing them. And you don't go to bed with them. You don't lust after them. You give them God. You see this? So if you're like me and you're seeking this new creation thing, with all the power and authority that we're supposed to be having, then watch out, because I'm hearing God, you're going to get a double whammy when you least expect it. And are you really ready to carry the double whammy? I am so free to preach here tonight, and I was not free this morning. You guys are going to stop. Anybody in my staff, if you're upset with me, stay home. Or go do something. And then sit in the house, because you bind me up. And I get upset with that, and I go to God and say, God, smack, I'm really good. Because what you're doing is you're stopping the anointing from flowing and helping everybody else. Are you understanding that too? You're a new creation in Christ. So, you know, you should be able to have all the weight of the world on your shoulders and walk through that door. If you're a staff member, walk through that door and nobody ever knows you're having any trouble at all. Instead of, look at my staff. You know, your lips up around your eyeballs. Your head's hung low, and you look at you and tell you that you have all the weight of the world on your shoulders. That should never be. You'll never know what I go through before I come through these doors. Sometimes with the boys in the car, it's like going to hell and fighting. And you know, it's terrible. I walk through the door, and the anointing's still there. God is still with me. Or something might be happening at the house. You don't know what's going on in my house. You really don't. And you say, how does she even get dressed to leave? But still in all, you know, I'm a child of God. I'm a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, and God indwells within me, and he uses me mightily because I allow him to. I'm not going to allow the pressures of the world tear me down. Where are you? Where are you at tonight? You walk through the door. Hello. And you know, you're no more happy than the moon is. In fact, the moon's probably happier. And then it spreads. It's a disease. It spreads. It just starts creeping all through the church. And everybody gets infected by it. I'm just talking to my staff right now. If you're like that, please stay home until you get rid of it. Or get rid of it before you walk through the door. Don't carry your mess in here. If you're a flagger and you're messed up, you're flagging all your junk all over us. And I don't want that. I don't. You're dancing up and down the aisleway inside you, you know? You don't need to be doing that. You're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and even in the old things, the things used to bother you, but now they don't bother you no more because you're a new creation. And you know that the battles that you're going through, God's taking care of them while you're doing the work that God wants you to do. Right? That's right. You can shake your head. Yes, yes. That's right. So I don't know what God's going to do at the altar tonight. I really don't. I get all caught up there. He's saying there's some of you in here that you know that you know that you know you are not a brand new creation all the way yet. That you still are fighting battles that you shouldn't even be fighting anymore. They should have been given over to me years ago. And he wants you at the altar so he can touch you and make you a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen.